This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
We are still streaming live on the ESPN app. You guys on Sirius XM Channel 371. Number for the show is 844-SAY-ACCN. Many thanks to Jeff Collins, head coach at Georgia Tech, who just joined us. But every Monday around this time, he's always prompt and on time, would be Eric McLean. And there he is, front and center. Eric, I'm glad you survived another holiday weekend. And we did get some games to talk about and to see. And again, I am thankful for that for sure, because there are simply no guarantees of what we're going to get football-wise moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And holiday season in full swing. I just want to remind everybody to set your scales back 10 pounds. You know, it's holiday season, so you just want to be fair and not get too down on yourself there. So hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving.
No doubt. It's a good idea, by the way.
Set your scales back.
I like that idea.
10 pounds.
Come on, Wes.
I got a better idea. How about Collins, not having a scale? That works even better. Just like, yeah,
that's true. That's
I'm gonna guess. I knew that was coming.
Based on the way these jeans feel, I'm going to kind of guess what the weight is on that.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay, while we go there real quick, Drew Brooks, our producer, has just confirmed that we have the word galvanization that Collins just used on this show, by the way, Mac. Galvanization is the process of applying a protective zinc coating to steel or iron to prevent rusting. So there you go. The Western Carolina kicked in for him, Pack. He got it right.
That's
so there
right.
You go.
The more you know.
That is the more you know, for sure. Emac, let's go to Angry Clemson. Pack mentioned the term Angry Clemson in the first hour. Did we get Angry Clemson Saturday? Is that what we're supposed to make that up to be? Is that what you thought we saw from the Tigers, angry Clemson?
We certainly saw that in the first quarter. I mean, 31 points just coming out blitzing hot. It was remarkable to see that. And it was funny enough, I saw somebody's power rankings that they had Clemson at number 5, and then down at number 1, they had angry Clemson. So I think there certainly was another gear that we saw from those guys, just a motivated football team that wanted to come out and, you know, just remind everybody, you know, who we are, that we are still this team. And, you know, when we're healthy, we're one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country. And we saw that, you know, guys being back, not only Trevor Lawrence, who has not played in 5 weeks. And oh, my goodness, you know, just how sharp did he look? And I think that even speaks more about who he is as a quarterback to not have played a football game in a month and a week, and to come out and, you know, have 1 yard short of your career high, and, you know, should have had a couple of more touchdowns, but those called back for various reasons. A guy stepped out of bounds at the 1, and then you had a lineman downfield to a beautiful pass. I think that might have been the prettiest pass he has ever thrown to Amari Rodgers, an even better catch for that touchdown that came back. But he just simply reminded everybody that he's the best player in the country. He took 5 weeks off, came right back, and just didn't miss a beat. So when you talk about Heisman, you talk about any major award, if that guy's not a finalist, top one, top two, just, you know, get rid of the award, to be honest.
Eric, we can talk Trevor Lawrence all we want. We know he's a great player, but Clemson's a different animal when Skalski, Jones, and Davis are back on the defensive side. I mean, they're just
no
different.
Doubt.
And it changes everything, because I said this in the last hour. In the middle of that defense, which was lacking at Notre Dame. And I'm not taking anything away from the Irish, because they're playing great football. Not good, great football. But Clemson's a different beast when those three guys on the defensive side are sitting there right in the middle. And you got to get over center, and you got Davis over the nose, and you got Skalski and Jones sitting there, and great linebackers and leadership. They just play at a different level defensively when they're in the lineup.
They absolutely do, and you saw that pretty much instant impact, Pack. You've got Tyler Davis tipping a pass in the first series for an interception. You've got Tyler Davis making a huge sack, getting up and doing that military salute. And then, of course, Skalski and Jones just flying all over the field, making huge plays. It was just great to see those guys back. And you know, I shot James a text and just said, hey, man, it was great seeing you back out there. How'd it feel? And he was like, but I can't even explain how great it was to be back out on that field. You know, still wanted to be safe. You know, he didn't play the entire game, but I know that guy is more than happy to be back. And, you know, just to continue to get healthy as Clemson goes on this potential ACC championship and then playoff run.
All right. Now, Eric, here's the other part. We're on the collision course now, right? I mean, Clemson plays at Virginia Tech Saturday. Notre Dame will host Syracuse on Saturday. And then, you know, we'll see where the rest of this falls from a schedule situation. But the idea that we are – Notre Dame and Clemson are playing the part of the rematch. I mean, that's the thing you like about this if you're a college football fan. You don't have an investment to a particular school. You get these two teams on this track one more time who delivered the first time, and now they're both really interested in getting this second one together by the way they're playing. And Notre Dame, I thought Notre Dame Friday was as strong as any team I'd seen all year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, let me touch on the rematch really quickly. I think you talk about anticipation. You talk about best ACC championship game that we've ever had. That'll be it, and I cannot wait to watch it. I know we've got some weeks to get there, but just thinking about that matchup, seeing how both teams are getting better and obviously healthy, you know, changes everything for each team. So I cannot wait for that to happen. And, of course, they both have to take care of business, but it seems like it is a sure lock for those guys to play in Charlotte. But then what you said about Notre Dame, it has been so impressive to see this team. We talked about a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, on the huddle. What's the potential for Notre Dame? What's the ceiling? And, you know, I thought that that was who they were. You know, they weren't going to get much better. They had a great offensive line. They had a solid running attack. You had a game manager at quarterback that, you know, could do some things to help you win. But overall, he was, you know, just not going to make any mistakes and help you lose. That is not the case. Ian Book has gotten unbelievably more confident in himself. We've seen the escapability, all these highlights you're seeing on the screen here. He has changed his game and just really opened it up to where he is now one of the major reasons this team is winning football games. You've got a third-year starter, a fifth-year guy. This is what we expected to see preseason from Notre Dame. So when we didn't get it up front, it was just kind of strange. So you're seeing them take it to another level. That offensive line, they were down two guys, you know, a center and a guard, you know, very key positions, and still move the ball at will, protected very well. They're the best offensive line in college football. It might not really be close. I think Alabama might, you know, be second. But those guys, just what they're able to do on a consistent basis, game in and game out, it's just very impressive. And then the defense. I mean, stepped up huge to hold North Carolina, one of the, if not the, most explosive, most balanced offense in the country, to hold them to 78 yards in the second half, guys. Zero touchdowns. The adjustments that Notre Dame made to take away the RPO, to take away a lot of answers that North Carolina normally is able to do against these great defenses, and it severely limited them. I mean, you have two running backs who are averaging 100-plus yards a game that were just put in check. And I thought what was even more interesting was when Kyle Hamilton went out for that targeting, which I can't stand that rule. I hate when we remove people from games. I thought that UNC was going to be able to take great advantage of that and really pick on the safeties and him not being out because he is such an impactful player. That was not the case. Notre Dame stepped it up a notch and over-delivered. So a great job by them. And, guys, they're only getting better. They're peaking at a perfect time.
Totally agree. I will say one thing, though, before everybody gets the pens and puts Notre Dame and Clemson and Charlotte, the Miami Hurricanes, and I know they haven't played in a while, so it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, but Miami's just sitting there with one loss. And, yeah, that you know, Notre Dame winning that game did not help their chances, but Clemson still has to hold serve. And I don't care what anybody says. Virginia Tech is a weird, goofy team. When they give you an A-list night, hey, at home, under the lights, they can beat people. They can also give you efforts where you go, I don't even know who those dudes are. So before everybody just says, oh, Notre Dame, Clemson, I just will remind folks that Miami's sitting there with one loss. They're ranked in the top 10. I know they haven't played in a couple weeks, so again, it's out of sight, out of mind. But let's not forget about the Canes. They're still sitting down there at Coral Gables. Good football team, had their chance against Clemson, didn't get it done, but that's all right. Hey, they still have a chance. So I just preface that before we all start going crazy about a top three potential matchup in Charlotte. The Canes are still sitting there. But I think
I thought that was a great job by the ACC to get that game played this weekend. You talk about Miami coming up. I mean, a team that just hadn't played in so long, but to find a solution, get those guys back on the field.
Right.
A big, big standing ovation for the ACC figuring that out and getting those guys back on the field. And I guess really Duke, too, to be able to adjust and to be willing to make that happen.
And Duke needed to play, too. I mean, they finally got a chance to play this past weekend after taking 3 weeks off. And I mentioned earlier with Florida State. I know Mike Norvell, his staff, and his players want to play. But when you find yourself now with 44, maybe it's 43 now that Asante said he's out, they're just not in a position to play. Between COVID, injuries, opting out, you throw it all in there. It's all Florida State, right? I just don't know if they can move forward, quite frankly. And so thank goodness we get a chance to see Miami play again. And they need to play. I mean, Miami is relevant in the conversation. So I think it was a brilliant move by the ACC to reschedule that way.
And you're talking about a team that we saw getting better and better and growing together, and a quarterback who just was having the most confidence we've ever seen in his career in the deep ball, throwing strikes to his wide receivers. So, you know, we talk about a lot with some of these teams in the ACC, time off can be good. When you think of Wake Forest, when you think of UVA, if they're able to practice and if they're able to be together, those are developmental programs that need time with their coaching staff, their weight staff, and their players. Miami was a team, they needed to play. They needed to be together and make this thing happen on a football field. So I think for them, it's been a little bit negative. Now, of course, we'll see what they look like coming off of such a long break against Duke this weekend. But, you know, I'm with you, Pac. That was a team that we needed to see more often get on that football field.
All right. Mondays with Mac continues in a moment, including accounting. Pack, you're going to miss the part where you're supposed
to say. It was easy this week, man.
Counting's
easy. It was simple. It is.
Counting's easy. There we go. See? Counting's easy. All right. Don't forget
Big
Saturday triple header.
Wrong about everything.
No, that's not true.
That's it. That's the part we're waiting on. By the way, the huddle kicks off your ACC football Saturday, 10 a.m. Jordan Cornett, Mark Richt, EJ Manuel, Eric McClain. All gather around, insight, preview of games, and more updates, all things ACC football. It's also become a breaking news hub the last couple of weeks. 10 a.m. is ACC Network and streaming on the ESPN app for the huddle. Sit tight. When we come back, accounting. It's gotten pretty easy, according to Packer, until Mac releases his, and then he's dead wrong about certain things. But we'll get to that and more when we continue in just a moment on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
And Durham, a Monday. The first sign of accounting comes from Eric McClain. Wes and I take care of business on Tuesdays. The fans take over on Wednesdays. Hashtag Packer in Durham. You can come up with your very own. If you want to get creative with the Sweet 16 spot, you can do that as well. It's totally optional, and it's up to you, the viewer / listener.
All right. Now, you have stated, Pack, in the last 3 weeks that accounting is not that hard now. It's actually gotten easy, right?
I think it's gotten easier. I haven't even been critical of Eric McClain's list because I think Emac's been all over.
No, that's not true. You were critical last week.
Of what? What was I critical about?
You were critical of Mac last week.
About
tell
what?
Tell him, Mac. He was critical
there's
last week, right?
There's normally one or two things, but it has certainly been a lot better than usual.
I refresh my memory because apparently I have forgotten. What was I critical about last week?
There was one last week. Was it BC?
We'll go back and check the tapes.
Yeah, well, I think it was BC that you might have been critical of last week,
Pac. Well, go ahead. Let's see what you got this week. Let's see.
Pull them up, man. It's simple. You know, the top guys, they didn't change much, and they probably won't. And really, when you look at how they're playing right now, I'm really liking NC State, but I don't think they can move much higher. Obviously, they got whooped by, you know, North Carolina there, but a really good football team. And I think that they are finding ways to win and really deserve that fifth spot. Wake Forest, you know, just haven't played, obviously, with the different COVID things that they're dealing with. I think the biggest, you know, maybe just shocker of this whole thing and really the entire season, to be honest, has been Louisville. And the fact that they cannot hold on to the football, the turnover margin, it's just so bad, guys. I mean, number one in the country, and that's a stat you don't want to sniff, you know, the top 25 in. And those guys are minus 14 turnover margin. Just give it away like candy, not able to get it back for your team. It has been a confusing season to see. But hopefully, you know, it's something that's very fixable.
Like I said, I think 1 through 4 are the four best teams. So that's a no-brainer. NC State's the best of the next collection of teams. Again, the Wolfpack just keeps on winning. And I think 11 through 15, quite frankly, have been the same five all season long. You know, I guess like last week, maybe you flip-flop one over the other. You can get in that if you're in the mood. But again, right. I don't think accounting's that. I think we've now gotten to the point now that we kind of know who everybody is, right? Because, I mean, now you may give sure. me the biggest mystery team probably is Virginia Tech, who could give you a great effort. Right. They can also give you a stinker, and you go, I don't know who they are. But for the most part, you kind of know who everybody is in the league right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Virginia Tech is the biggest question mark for the reasons you just said. And if it's motivation, if it's stuff in-house, if it's just, again, wins and losses, it's been really interesting to see. So can't wait to see that matchup this weekend. You've got to think that they'll be fired up to at least, at bare minimum, make a name for yourself. Go out against, you know, one of the best teams in the country and put together a really, really good game. Now everybody can have that plan until you kind of get hit right in the mouth. But it's been interesting to see them. And then, as you mentioned, Pac, that kind of 5 through 8, I think those are teams that we can really be excited about, that teams that have a lot of youth, that have sometimes some new coaching situations, that if they can figure it out and if they can go together in this offseason, barring that we have a little bit more normalcy, that, you know, those can be some teams to really watch next year and maybe even throw around some, you know, dark horse titles there for people that you know, could contend. So it's going to be exciting to see the growth of those teams and really the movement into next year.
Hey, Eric, I think you're right about that. And I would also throw in Louisville. I like I said, nobody saw this Louisville season.
For sure.
Nobody on this network did. Maybe somebody else did on another network, which is probably true. But nobody on this network, much less this show, saw Louisville struggling the way they are, and I expect him to bounce back. And the guy that we just talked to, Jeff Collins, he's building it the right way in Atlanta. And I do not expect to see Georgia Tech locked and loaded in the 11 to 15 slot as we get into the 21 season. I think both those teams will bounce back next season and go from there. So I think you're right. I think the quality of depth in the league this year has been proven, not only at the top with really, really big-time teams with Notre Dame and Clemson, but also the fact that Miami's had a bounce back here. They've been in the top 10, which is great for the league. There's no way Florida State is going to be wallowing around in mediocrity. At least I hope not. I expect him to bounce back and show some signs of life. So I think the league's in good shape. The 2020 had to be played, and there's a reason for it. The quality of individuals, and I think the quality of the teams and depth-wise, this has been a good year for ACC football.
No doubt.
All right, Mac, let's go to the final, I don't know, minute and a half the other day at the Carrier Dome. what a bizarre finish that thing was, right?
Golly. Yeah, Josh, stop listening and close your eyes, buddy. This is going to hurt to relive this. But just a really strange situation because, you know, NC State tried to lose that game. They gave Syracuse every opportunity to take the dub and to win. And, you know, just a finish that was so bizarre. I mean, you've got third down here, and you have to understand the situation, understand the clock, understand where you are on the field, the fact that you need a touchdown, you have no timeouts left. You cannot take a sack, guys. And then the worst part about it is you see him spiking it here on fourth down. It's just as the play was happening after the sack, he's screaming around, yelling at everybody, saying, we're clocking it, we're clocking it. And nobody else on the field, even the coaches, they had to assume that was about to happen, was screaming, saying, hey, man, it's fourth down. We've got to run a play. So very unfortunate. Just a crazy, crazy play to see that happen. But, you know, Coach Dino Babers went on, you know, his little press conference after the game and said, hey, look, that one play, although it be significant and the last thing that we saw, wasn't the primary reason we lost the game. There were six or seven other plays that we should have capitalized on to win the football game. And he's right. But certainly that last play, it's something that we're all going to think about. We're going to talk about because it was probably the most impactful because it was the last one to happen. And it just, it stinks. And with Syracuse, we mentioned all these other teams that have potential and we're seeing signs of life. The best thing that I can honestly say about those guys is they do not quit and they fight. And I know that's, you know, some people probably don't want to hear that, but the effort that we have seen from those guys, from a lot of young guys that are playing really, really well right now, but it's not maybe reflecting on the scoreboard or in their record, there's some excitement to be had there in Syracuse. So I think if they can just battle it out, go find a quarterback, whether it's in the transfer portal or if you think you have them on your roster, and that can change your team because that defense, they're going to get better, they're going to grow up, and be a really solid football team.
And that is precisely, here's Mac, the thing, Eric, why they're not 15 in accounting for me. And you'll find that out again tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
Here's the part I'll add this. I think that they are young enough, Eric, really on both sides, but especially on defense. I mean, when you see Melifonwu's a redshirt junior, they started six freshmen on Saturday, a program record on the defensive side of the ball. Six. And if you're willing to survive the rest of 2020, and you're right, maybe you go 1-10, but that will make you a better team in 2021, I get the feeling. If, biggest word in sports, right, Pac? If you get a normal spring and a normal summer for Dino Babers and Tony White, his defensive coordinator, and Sterling Gilbert, the OC. And you're right about the quarterback situation. Sean Tucker at running back. We've seen all the different integrators of wide receiver. Defensively, though, the young guys they're playing at linebacker, the young guys they're playing in the secondary, I'd be kind of optimistic. Now, I'm not saying you throw them up the line with Clemson and Notre Dame, whatever else in the top, but certainly I can see a team that would make a move into the middle of the stack next year in the ACC.
Yeah, and just be more competitive. I'm absolutely with you. You look at they totally redid their defense, and so many people are saying, well, you know, that didn't work. That was a terrible idea. Well, they didn't have time to really practice it and install it the way that you would want to. So I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's justified. And sure, we can blame a lot of stuff on this era that we are living in right now and the lack of time, lack of preparation and circumstances that we would want. But to be quite honest, it's true in this situation. And so, like Wes just said, there are so many impactful young guys that, you know, statistically, nationally, rank in the top 10 and number one in takeaways and all these things. So there is optimism. It's just, you know, can you put that in the right direction? Can we get all these guys to come back, to grow together? Because they have given some of the best offenses that they have played absolute fits. I mean, you look at what they did to North Carolina, albeit the first game of the season, what they're able to do to Clemson, pick six on Trevor, confusing him or being in the right spot, getting those different interceptions. So that there is something to build upon. There is something to be excited about. You just have to commit to it and trust that, you know, you can get it to the right spot.
Well, good with this, Pac. Everything good? We're not dead wrong yet, are we?
Well, I you know, speak for yourself. I will just say one other thing for Eric. Congratulations on your podcast sponsor. Just want to give you a little love on that.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Come on. It's been a lot of fun, man. Just putting this thing together with Kelly Gramlich, you know, on the ACC network with us. Basketball season's starting, so the show will turn into more of a hybrid. But yeah, big shout out to our new sponsor, Sunshine Beverages. They're right there in Winston-Salem, so a Carolina brand.
Yeah, we know.
That you guys got to check it out. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we know all about Winston-Salem. We know about all the clients in Winston-Salem. So
that's
congratulations
right.
On that.
Come on. Got them all. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a nice week. Be careful out there, okay? And don't forget to set your scales 10 pounds back, right? Is that it? Set the 10 scales
pounds
10 back.
Pounds hey, back. Stock and yeah. Bonds guy, Miami fan, he's the one that shouted me out there, so it's funny.
All right, you got it. Be well. Eric McClain, always on a Monday with Packer and Durham. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will switch to hoops, just like Eric and Kelly on the podcast. A little hybrid show today. Tiana's back, and boy, is Coach Hillsman glad to see her. One of the great returns in college basketball occurred this weekend. We'll see Tiana play and update you on what we've seen so far on the men's card, too, right after this on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. We still have wide receiver U coming up. We've got the best and worst of the weekend. We've got some offbeat things to get into, but right now we're going to talk hoops. And tell you what, both the men and the women had crazy storylines in the ACC. And Wes, one of the cool stories in this league and in this country took place this weekend regarding Syracuse women's basketball program.
Yeah, Tiana is back for Coach Hillsman. Quentin was with us last week, great on the show as always. But over the weekend in a game against Stony Brook, Syracuse's Tiana Manakahia is back on the floor now, one of the better players in the ACC, then diagnosed with breast cancer prior to 2019-2020. Went through extensive chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, those kinds of things, and has come back strong. 16 points and 7 rebounds in her return, an 11-point win for Coach Quentin Hillsman, who was pretty candid after the ball game.
Absolutely. I hugged her for the game and told her I love her. I'm glad she's back. Because when you're in that situation, you know, it's tough because I don't know how her body feels. I don't know how her body reacts to playing at full speed, to playing at a high level. I mean, I can just imagine all the things she's going through just to get herself in shape and to play the game. I'm just so grateful that she has the opportunity to play again. Because some people never recover from this. Some people, you know, lose their life with this. And she's here for us, and she's playing well. I'm just very thankful and grateful for her to have the opportunity to play basketball again.
There was a lot going through my mind, especially on the bus. I think in the warm-up, it was less emotions because I was just focused. But on the bus, I was very emotional, and I just, like, couldn't believe that this day was here that I was going to be able to play. Yeah, it lived up to the expectations. I was, like, really excited. I would always, like, the past 3 days I've been thinking, like, oh, I just want to have the best game of my life, you know? And, like, I obviously didn't, but it was just so nice to be on the court and just to be able to play, you know? Like, it was just, I don't know. I didn't expect me to be, like, really amazing, but I wanted that. But I just tried my hardest, and, yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
She is a cool, cool lady. We've had her on the show, but her story is remarkable. And, again, you want a feel-good story? You know, we got the gloom and doom of COVID, and everybody's stressed out, and holidays and all that stuff. You go read up and watch Tiana play and watch her story. And I tell you what, if it doesn't put a smile on your face, there's something wrong with you. This is a great story.
Yep, it is. And it's let's keep our fingers crossed it only gets better. Right,
yep,
Pac?
No doubt.
Especially for her and the Orange program as well. But, you know, it's a little things, little gifts, little blessings. And this is one right here for sure. So congratulations to Coach Hillsman and Tiana, especially as the Orange gets back on the floor. Let's go from the ladies to the men's side. ACC's kind of had some ups, and we've had some downs. I'll tell you one thing that's you can mark down, though, and it's a given. In November, Mike Young is going to beat somebody
again
of substance.
Yeah, again.
Last year in Maui, it was Michigan State, And let me tell you about Saturday, because on Saturday he went big game hunting and got Villanova in overtime at the bubble at Mohegan Sun. What a great win for the Hokies. And by the way, they doubled down last night and beat South Florida. So congratulations to Mike Young on a 3-0 start in Virginia Tech. Kevi Aluma is probably a name you need to remember. Transfer from Wofford, set out last year. Coach Young talked about the benefit of the redshirt season for Aluma, and he was a big factor in Saturday's overtime victory against the Wildcats at Jay Wright, by the way. So congratulations to Mike Young and Virginia Tech on a 3-0 start. And as I said last night, another big win. They beat South Florida, coached by the former Georgia Tech coach Brian Gregory, in the bubble in Connecticut. So that's one story. The second story is kind of that's the up. Now we got to have the down. Uh-oh, not happy. I can already tell you're disappointed, aren't you?
No, what I was going to tell you is that when we did our little segment last week with every ACC team about what we think, better, worse, the same, I had mentioned to you that I've got some buds at Virginia Tech that contacted me and said, Pat, I'm telling you, the league is going to sleep on us. We're going to be pretty good. And when I watched the Hokies in Villanova, all I could think about was my buddies up there going, I told Pack, he doesn't ever pay attention to what I'm trying to do. You know what? They're going to be pretty good. And you know what? They're going to be tough, and they're well coached. So all I'm saying is we know nothing when it comes to this season yet. We saw some storylines across the country where some teams thought, hey, just because we wear this jersey means that we don't lose games. Wrong answer. COVID, no practices, different universe. College basketball was crazy this weekend.
Well, and we said, while that might be the uptick for the league, the downtick occurred on Friday, did it not? Friday morning, again in Connecticut. And this time it's another USF, not South Florida. The University of San Francisco got Virginia 61-60 on an 8-0 run in the last 2 minutes, Pack.
Yeah, biggest win in San Francisco since the Giants won the World Series in 2014. And you know what? When you're making threes, that's a problem, right? Especially for a Virginia team that, again, scoring can be an issue. Even though I love the Hauser pickup, I think he's going to be perfect. There's no need to panic here, but this was a disappointing start for the team that's picked to be the team in the ACC. But kind of reminds me a little bit of last year too, Wes. Remember, Duke was the preseason pick, and you know they lost at home to Stephen F. Austin, and people panicked and went crazy. No need to panic. Tony Bennett's guys will be just fine. But it was just a reminder that doesn't matter what's on that jersey, man, you got to go out and play. But when teams make threes against Virginia, that's a problem, because the Hoos at times, you know, they're not going to blow you out and beat you by 35. They're normally going to play tight, tough games. Everybody's still learning, but that's a tough start for Virginia, no question.
Do we need to reveal the connection that this show has to Friday's upset, Pack?
I think we should. I think we should. We need to be transparent.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently, on this show, our producer, Drew Brooks, bottom right, front row, grew up, and one of his best friends was San Francisco coach Joe Golden, right? Todd Golden, I'm sorry, Todd Golden. And that's Todd Golden, knees crossed, crisscross applesauce right there in front of the coach on the floor. So Todd Golden and Drew Brooks were apparently teammates on the Meadows Rams, by the way, Pack, that we saw the team photo of right there. That obviously not a very updated photo of neither Brooks or Todd Golden.
I couldn't pick Brooks out because I didn't see anybody wearing flannel and I didn't see anybody in a beard. So you'll have to circle that because I couldn't pick Drew Brooks out of a lineup with that group. The Meadows Rams, is that what you said they were? The Meadows Rams?
Yes, yes, that's the Meadows Rams. And later in the week, I expect we're going to get a summary of their season at some point, don't you think? I think I we not. Deserve that. No, if we're going to reveal that picture, we have to have that.
Maybe at 10:05, we'll do everybody a favor and do that at 10:05. But the Meadows Rams, I don't need to know. I listen, I saw enough of San Francisco watching that game the other day, that 8-0 run down the stretch. But again, for Virginia folks, you don't panic, right? You're Tony Bennett. You got a terrific team. Panic. I love Hauser. I know he had a wide open look for the win, didn't make the shot, but he'll make shots, and he's going to be just fine. But when teams make threes on Virginia, you know, they're going to be tight games. Now, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. Before we get to break and a lengthy list of wide receiver quick reminder to you folks that Clemson is not just a men's golf powerhouse. The Tigers are also a basketball school. Tuesday night, we got ACC basketball here on ACC Network presented by Geico. St. Francis. Oh, boy. St. Francis of PA, who's already posted some wins, meets Virginia at John Paul Jones Arena, 4 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll take you to the KFC Yum Center. This will be a good one now. Western Kentucky and Charles Bassey against Louisville. Saw the Hilltoppers play a little bit in the deal down on the Gulf Coast. The Toppers are pretty good now, Pac. Be careful, Louisville. All that for you. Doubleheader, 4 o'clock tomorrow, 6 o'clock for the nightcap. When we come back, a lengthy list of wide receiver U. How many folks we got on this list this week? Remember 2 weeks ago? We're up there. We're in that neighborhood, I'm just going to tell you. Jordan Addison, you deserve to be on this list. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN. All right, grab your popcorn because I believe this is the best. This is the best collection of wide receiver use that we've had. Even better than 2 weeks ago when we had that crazy Wake North Carolina game and that weekend had just catches galore. This weekend was even better. This one's going to be impossible to
figure
out.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Go for it.
Two weeks ago, we had a dozen nominees, right?
Yeah.
A dozen nominees, impossible to get to 4 finalists. And you said it was the single greatest list we'd ever had in wide receiver U over 2 years.
Until this weekend. This weekend's better. It is.
Okay.
I don't even know how you're going to get to 4.
All right. Let's see. 3, 6, 9. We got 11 this week.
We could add 20.
Now, let me ask this question. For comparative statements, we have 11, and in my opinion, we left one out, but that's neither here nor there at this point. Would any of these 11 have won last week?
Maybe all. I think it's the best weekend of catches we've had in the league. It is.
All right. Let's get started. Let's roll the tape for Friday. Javon McKinley, you're up first. First quarter action. Oh, double eight. What are you doing? Nice catch. Good throw. That's pretty good. All right. Next. Oh, we're going to get another look. All right.
Just in case.
What do you think, Pac?
Solid catch, but this one has that one will have no chance of being in the top 4. Zero chance.
All right. Emory Simmons of North Carolina, where in the zero? This is a great catch. It's a great catch. By the way, John Madden once said a knee equals 2 feet, a rear end in for Emory Simmons. It's a great catch.
Yep, tremendous.
Does that make the finals?
Maybe.
Is that going to make the finalist?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. All right. Let's go under the lights. Bobby Dodd Stadium, Saturday night, Midtown Atlanta. Mateo Durant from Chase Bryce.
One-hander.
Whoa. Wait a second. This is my first time seeing this.
One-hander. And that's not, let me tell you something. Let me just break this one up for you. It's not going to be the only one-hander you're going to see this weekend. Pretty good.
Okay. Nice. That's good. All right. Fourth on the list. I've seen this one. Boston College's C.J. Lewis. Welcome back to the list. Whoa, stop
it. Another one-hander.
Come on now. That's back shoulder, backhand.
Yep. And in.
Okay, that's on. That's a finalist. That's a finalist.
You can't. You got to see them all, Wes. You got to see them all.
That's back shoulder, backhand, Pac.
I've seen them all. I'm just telling you. You got to see them all before you can say yay or nay. I'm just telling you. This list is the best we've had this year.
All right, let's go to the ball game Roddy Jones and I had Saturday in New York. Thayer Thomas, this is a dime, by the way. Look at that. Now, here's the thing about this catch. He gets play. Garrett Williams gets him to the sideline, and Thomas still makes the catch running out of space. He runs out of space to catch and to stay in bounds.
One of three for Mr. Thomas on the day.
Yeah. Next up, Nakeem Johnson. For the Orange, Rex Culpepper just slings this, by the way. Boom. And the guy chasing him can run, too, but Nakeem Johnson's gone. Nice catch for Johnson.
Yep, great
game. A dime
game
from Culpepper, by the way.
Great game for him, too.
Had it all. Tell you what, I saw a lot of potential in the Orange. They played hard. They take that to next year. Anyway. All right, Clemson and Pittsburgh is next, and this is the first of four in a row from the Tigers. E.J. Williams. Whew.
We could have probably added E.J. Williams' touchdown catch, too, which was ridiculous. But after a while, you're like, there were so many plays in this game. We could have done just a Clemson-Pitt highlight reel for wide receiver U.
Yep.
Bam. Mm.
All right, so there's E.J. Williams. Amari Rodgers, welcome back to the list. Amari Rodgers been on the list before. I think he's been a finalist once or twice. This guy makes this stuff look routine, too. This is hard, and he makes it just look like, hey, I got it.
And he had a touchdown catch that didn't count that would have made this list as well. Like I said, there were so many from this game, it was embarrassing. I mean, look at this play. That's crazy.
So there's Rodgers. All right, now we're getting down to the two that are probably going to be on the list. Ladies and gentlemen, Cornell Powell, who will be on this show tomorrow. Trevor throws a seed. Look at that thing. Oh, man.
How good is Cornell
Powell? By the way, he's had a great year, and good for him.
Yeah, he's put in the work, and there were a lot of folks waiting. When's that Powell guy going to make some plays? Well, guess what? He's been making plays all year. He has really, really helped his big cause as far as the effort and the performances this year, but he was awesome Saturday.
8:45 tomorrow morning, by the way, for Cornell Powell on this show. Make that note. Roddy Jones and I, by the way, said that would be a wide receiver U finalist in the Syracuse airport after the game on Saturday when we saw that play live. Just, you know, kind of add the we did not see this live, and it's good because I probably would have knocked something over. Andrew Booth, who may have the catch of the year, may have another one. This, you got to see this from ground level.
Right here. Look at this.
To appreciate it. Here it is. Come on. And by the way, you see who he's picking it from? Jordan Addison.
Don't feel bad for Jordan Addison.
Does that add to the degree of difficulty?
Yeah. Don't feel bad for Jordan Addison because he's about ready to give you arguably the best grab of the year. Arguably.
All right. Here it is. Look at this thing. Remember Lewis's catch against Clemson for Boston College?
Yeah. It's kind of
is this
thing.
Better?
Yeah, this is better. You know what's remarkable about this play? After all the craziness to get the ball in his hand, he still keeps the ball in his hand, even when guy's looking to knock the thing out after he's caught it. He never bobbles the ball even to the ground. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? It's a catch. Yeah, it was a catch. Touch.
Well, we got
and let me tell you
two
something.
2 feet down, too. Two
there
feet
were,
down.
There were catch three, on Sunday. Yeah. There were three or four plays in this game made by both sides of balls that were caught that were ruled in a no play because of a penalty or whatever the case may be. I don't think there has been a game played in the ACC, maybe even in the country based on what I've seen, that have had more spectacular catches in one game than Clemson and Pitt on Saturday. It was crazy what these guys were doing. Unbelievable play. So
there you go.
Good luck to the suits and the smart people in Bristol that have got to figure out four of those to be voted upon. And good luck voting because, man, I'm telling you, that was as good a week as we've had with wide receiver U. That combination right there. And you mentioned a
– let me remind you. You
mentioned a catch in the ahead. NC State game that you thought Emeka's been on there, I think, every week that could have been on there. I mean, we could have gone on and on and on. It was ridiculous how many we had to pick from.
The year-end spectacular of wide receiver U will be something.
Yeah.
Right? Our gala wide receiver U program where we wear tucks and tails.
I'm not doing
and,
that.
And hand it's out not, wide receiver
it's not
U
in my
awards.
Contract. No, that's not that. My contract. I will bring our Emmy, though, if you'd like. I've got it right here with the chicken stick hat on top of it. But I do have a top hat. Here's what I can do for you. I can bring this
back. Oh,
a
top hat? Yeah. Yes, sir. Put that back on again.
I can give you this for the wide receiver U gala. I'll give you that right there. I'll wear that for the gala. How about that? Tip of the hat to all those kids, man. They put on a show this week now. I'm telling you, the wide receivers. And here's Andrew Booth, Wes. He's already won it once. Is it possible that a defensive back wins wide receiver U twice?
Yes.
Could happen. Could happen. We don't have anything to do with the vote, though.
Nope. But we have we look forward to seeing who the finalists are. Don't forget, go to the ACC Network's Twitter feed, at ACC Network. You can vote for the winner of this week's edition of Wide Receiver U. Okay, when we go back, Power Hour is next. Best and worst of the weekend. That list is long. We'll take you through the weekend of ACC football, update you on the new schedule for this weekend. All that and much, much more. 9 o'clock hour is next on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham.